In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the third Sunday of the blessed month of Misra, and it's the last month before the little month, before we start the Coptic New Year. And so the church gives us some readings to remind us of how to prepare ourselves before the end of the year and how to examine ourselves and certain things, certain tips, in order to overcome the fights of the demons. In the epistles today, we heard in the Pauline about divisions. And in the Catholic epistle, we heard about the idea of submission. And one of the things that causes divisions is our pride. And we see here in the gospel that the devil, the Lord is attacked by the people because he cast out demons, and they say he cast out demons by the ruler of the demons, by demons, by Beelzebub. And so he's responding to them logically, but he's also pointing at something, that divisions are caused sometimes. Here he's saying, like, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. The reason it cannot stand is because of the pride that causes this division. And the demons, one of the things about them, the fathers teach us, is that they work very well together. When we read, for example, St. John Cassian or St. John Climacus or St. Felixinus, they have this thing how they link the vices together, the demons of the vices, and they show how one demon helps the other. They work in unity. And so the demons are united against us, and yet we are divided against ourselves and divided or not reconciled with God or with one another. For example, the demon of gluttony, if we think about it, gluttony leads to laziness. If you overeat, you find yourself heavy, you find yourself, you don't want to do anything, you want to just sit on a couch and lay back. And then laziness leads to lust. And so these three are tied together. And then they group the demons like that and show how they are united in their war against us. And so they fight us constantly. And as we approach the end of the year, we want to overcome the many things that the demons attack us with. We all have weaknesses. We all suffer from various sins. And in the psalm today, the psalm is like a header to the reading of the gospel. In the psalm today, it says, "Hearken, O Lord, to the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my helper and my defender." And so we're crying out to him, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me overcome these weaknesses. Lord, help me overcome these attacks by the demons." And so the church fathers tell us one of the key things to overcome when we think of the blessed Ava Antony, the great saint Ava Antony. One time he saw all the snares of the demons laid out before him. And he said, "Lord, who then can be saved? Or who can escape all this?" And he heard a voice from heaven say, "Humility, humility. It is he who humbles himself that can escape all these traps." And so we are thrown many darts by the enemy, and they are united. They throw together. And we want to overcome how? Through humility. We must humble ourselves. We must work on the virtue of humility in order to overcome these snares. Today in the Synaxar, we read about St. Macarius. One of the virtues that sticks out in the life of St. Macarius is his humility. Till the last breath of his life, he was struggling for this virtue of humility. And so sometimes when we speak about humility, we may misunderstand it. Sometimes in this world, if you ask anybody, you go out there and you ask, "What is humility?" People will say, maybe you're a doormat. Maybe you have low self-esteem. Maybe you're a pushover. Maybe you're someone who is very weak, unambitious, and so on, a pushover. But these are all wrong definitions. The Lord doesn't say, "Humble yourself and be unambitious." He doesn't say, "Humble yourself and be a pushover or a doormat, let everybody walk all over you." This is not what he's saying. To humble ourselves, this is not what it is. I can be ambitious. I can have, I can fight for my rights when it's needed. But why this ambition? Why my rights? Why all this stuff? That's the question. That is what determines whether we are humble and all this stuff or not. There are people who are very successful in this life, and yet you wouldn't know it because they are so humble. And so I can have all these things, I can do all these things, and yet remain humble. And so the question is, why humility? The first thing, when we look at the Lord himself in Philippians, St. Paul tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. The Lord himself left the throne of his glory, humbled himself, became man, and reigned on the cross. Why? Why all this? For our salvation. And so why this humility of our Lord? To save us. And why should we humble ourselves? For salvation as well. Because like I said in the beginning, humility is the key to salvation. The demons come and attack us with many, many different attacks. And how can I escape? How can I be saved from all this? Through humility. And so we all face many obstacles, and we ask, how can we overcome? One time, St. Macarius the Great, he cast out a demon-possessed person, and then he asked one of the demons, by what do you come out? Is it by my fasting? They said, no, we don't eat. Is it by my vigils? They said, no, we don't sleep. Is it by my seclusion in the wilderness? They said, no, we abide in the wilderness as well. So he said, by what do you come out? And they responded and said, your humility crushes us. Not just destroys, it crushes the demons. Humility. St. Macarius heard that. And so when we humble ourselves like St. Macarius, as he did in his life, or we learn at least to humble ourselves and struggle for it, we will find that the demons in our life are crushed. St. Augustine, he said, humility is the tree of life. Those who eat of it will never die. Humility is the tree of life. Those who eat from it will never die. Eating from the tree of humility is what we need to do, that we may never die. It is the key to the kingdom. St. John Climacus, in one of his quotes, he says, repentance lifts up a man, mourning knocks at heaven gates, holy humility opens it. It is the key to the kingdom. And the Lord himself, when the disciples came to him and said, who is the greatest in the kingdom? He borrowed a little child and he said, he who humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom. Humility is the key. St. Isaac, along the lines of St. Augustine, the idea of a tree, St. Isaac says, when you look at trees, fruit-bearing trees, if they don't bear fruit, you'll find that their branches are pointing up towards the sky. And those that have plenty of fruit or that will bear fruit, their branches are tilted towards the ground. And so this is the idea with our souls. Our souls, those that are prideful, bear no spiritual fruit, because they are so prideful. They're like those branches pointing towards the sky. But those that are tilted, those that are humbled, those that know themselves, bear much fruit, much spiritual fruit, and you see a life of virtue in them. And so he says a good farmer doesn't just leave the tree like this, but he begins placing stones on the branches that are not going to bear fruit, that they may tilt bit by bit. And then he adds more stones, that they may tilt more, until finally they start producing fruit. And so we want to add these stones in our lives. We want to add these stones that we may bear much fruit. And so we go to our spiritual father and we seek advice, we seek guidance on how to humble ourselves. All these things that we do, the external things, the prostrations, the standing up in prayers, the raising of our hands during prayer, the bodily exercises, Saint Dorotheos of Gaza says, the bodily humble exercises lead to the humility of the soul. We begin with the body and then the soul follows when we fast, when we do all these things. But suppose I am prideful. What can I do? What can I begin with? The first thing is I ask and I beg. I keep begging the Lord like the psalm today. Hearken, O Lord, to the voice of my supplication. I beg him, Lord, grant me humility, because I know that my pride is what separates me from you. So grant me humility. One time long ago, the blessed Amba Karaza of thrice blessed memory, he was the bishop of St. Anthony Monastery in California, and he was a very, very humble man. Anyone you meet that speaks about Amba Karaz will tell you about his humility. Amba Karaz, when he was a little boy, he was about 14 years old. He shared this story when he was close to his death, with one of his disciples. When he was about 14 years old, he lived in Sudan, and he did something praiseworthy. So people around him started to praise him. And so he said, no, no, and he tapped his chest, and he was acting humble. But deep down inside, he was so happy people were praising him. He was so happy that people were recognizing what he had done. And so his spiritual father was the late Abba Daniel of Sudan. And so he saw this, and he was a clairvoyant man. And so he could read his thoughts, and so he took him aside. He sat with him, and he told him, my son, never, ever, ever fake humility. Because when you fake humility, you will begin to only grow in your pride. And so don't fake humility. And so Ambakaras, from that day, until he got very sick, he had cancer. From that day, every prostration he did, every single prostration he did, he begged God for humility. So for over 30 years, imagine with me, this is a monk, so he's doing many prostrations every day. For 30 years, so hundreds of thousands of times, he got down on the floor and begged God, Lord, grant me humility. Imagine that. And yet, he never stopped. It's not like he begged God for humility for 6 months, for a year, for 2 years, for 30 years. Yes, he had acquired the virtue of humility. Anyone who met him said he's a humble man. But because he was humble, he realized his sinfulness. And so he continued begging. And so we beg and we don't stop. This is number one. Number two, we need to live a life of thanksgiving. There are many things that the Lord has granted us, many gifts, many talents. And often the attitude is, it's mine. If, for example, I achieve something at work, or if I achieve an accomplishment in school, I think, I did it, I studied, I worked hard, it's my accomplishment. But really, who gave you the talent? Who gave you the gift? Who gave you the intelligence? Who gave you the know-how? It is the Lord our God. That's why St. James tells us in chapter 1, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Every good gift is from above, and we need to thank God for it. If we realize we have something good, if I have some intelligence, if I am a beautiful person, if I have a gift in my life, let me thank God for it. St. Isaac the Syrian says, there is no gift without increase except that which is without thanksgiving. And so the more we give thanks to God for the many graces he's given us, the many gifts he's given us, we find that this grace increases in our life. It's like two cups, Keda. You have two cups, one full with water and another that's empty. You come with a pitcher of water and you want to pour the water into the cups. The one that is full, you cannot put anything in. You can only fill the empty cup. And so the more I give thanks, it's kind of like that. I humble myself, and so the Lord fills me more and more with his grace. Number three, so number one, we need to beg and never stop begging. Number two, I need to give thanks for all the gifts he's given me, the many talents, the many things I see that are good in my life. It's good to recognize the good in your life. Don't flee from that because it's a gift from him, but thank him for it. Number three, stay away from arguments as much as possible. Sometimes, we get very defensive. If we get into a discussion with someone and the other person has a different opinion than ours, even if their opinion is correct, if it's different than ours, we find we get very defensive. We find we start arguing. We start wanting to make a case for our own opinion. And so it becomes a very ugly conversation, and it turns into arguments rather than a proper discussion. And so even when somebody comes and corrects us, even if they're right in correcting us, we did something wrong, again, we may get defensive. We may feel like, who is this person to come and correct me? Why don't they mind their own business? Whereas if I am a humble person, I will take the correction and examine myself and say, maybe I won't say it verbally to the person, but at the very least, thank God, Lord, for now, today, you have enlightened me. You have shown me something I didn't know about myself. And now I can grow. I can take a step further towards you. There's a story about these two monks. They lived together, and one time they were praying. And so the demon came and pushed the lantern, knocked it down, and it shut off. And so the older brother got angry and turned to the younger brother and said, what did you do? And so the younger one immediately did a prostration before him, said, forgive me, my brother, just give me a few minutes, I will relight it. And so upon seeing the prostration and everything, khalas, he's not angry anymore. The older brother calmed down, there's no anger. The demon who had knocked down the lantern was so upset, left, went to the pagan temple, and he reported this to the other demons that were at the temple. And there was a pagan priest there, and he saw all this. And he heard the demon say to the other one, every time we toss our bait among the monks, they receive it in humility, each doing a prostration to the other, thus nullifying our power. And so this pagan priest heard this, ran to a monastery, became a Christian and a monk, and he used to tell the other people that would visit, humility can defeat, dismantle, and nullify all enemy power. Nullify the power of the enemy. So yes, they are united against us. They throw all these darts. They come at us. You want to nullify their power? Humble yourself. You want to nullify their power? Learn to not argue. I'm not saying be a pushover. I'm not saying be a doormat. But if it's something where maybe the other person's right, or if it's something that doesn't make any difference, don't argue. Don't fight for any reason. And so if I want to grow in my life of humility, one, I need to ask and beg. Two, I need to live a life of thanksgiving. Three, I can learn to stay away from arguments. And finally, number four, follow the commandments. Today in the gospel, the Lord says, who are my brothers and sisters and so on, and my mother? And he says, he who does the will of God. Sometimes, yes, we look at the scripture and we say, there are many commandments, there are many instructions in there. Sometimes we feel like, I'm going to pick and choose. There are too many. I'm just going to pick what I like and leave what I don't like. I'm going to say, this one's not for me. This one's for the monks. This one's for the priests. This one's for the bishops. Not for me. I'm just a regular person. But no, all the commandments are for each one of us. We are all daughters and sons of our King. And so we are to follow him in every word he's given us. The commandments are for each one of us to follow fully, to do his will, that we may be, like he said here, his brother, his sisters, his mother, and so on. Doing the will of God is what he wishes us to do. And if we wish to, he will give us the grace to accomplish, to fulfill the commandments, even if they seem hard. But we can take baby steps. St. John Climacus, he has a book called The Ladder of Divine Ascent, written for monks, and it's 30 steps. And he says, you cannot go from step 1 to step 30. You will fall. There's no way. But I can take it a step at a time. And so if I'm not there yet, if I'm unable to follow all the commandments, let me take baby steps. Let me take baby steps one at a time and attack them, kidda, one at a time. And then I'll find myself growing and doing them and accomplishing them by the grace of God. And I will not think of anything but to fulfill the commandments. They will give me pleasure. They will give me joy to fulfill them. But I need to start in baby steps. And when I do fulfill the commandments, the fathers say, I will find myself growing in humility. And when I grow in humility, I will find myself defeating again these united demons that come at us. There's a story about Ava Daniel of Shahid in a book called Witness to Holiness. In it, there's a story of this girl. She's demon-possessed. And her dad takes her to many, many doctors and different places in order to try to heal her. And nothing works. Finally, he meets a monk who tells him there's a group of monks in Shahid, amongst whom there's Ava Daniel, and they are able to cast out demons. But if you go to them directly and say, cast out the demon, they will refuse out of humility. But they go on a certain day, on a specific day, to sell their baskets in the market. So go and buy a basket and tell him you do not have money with you and take him to your house to give him the money and just see what happens. So he did so. He went to the market, found Ava Daniel selling his baskets. So he went and bought a basket or a few baskets and told him, please come to my house. I will pay you there. I don't have money. So Ava Daniel said, sure. He followed him, went into the house. And as soon as he walked into the house, the demon-possessed daughter came out of her room, slapped him on the face and spat on him. And so what did Ava Daniel do? He turned the other cheek. immediately. The commandment says, turn the other cheek. He turned the other cheek. And so the demon came out of the demon-possessed girl, screaming in pain. It says, wail to us from Jesus' commandments because they annoy us. And the elderly father said, nothing degrades the power of the devil as doing the commandment of Jesus humbly. Doing the commandment of Jesus humbly. That's all Abba Daniel did. Abba Daniel didn't take a cross and pray. Abba Daniel didn't get his agbeya and pray psalms. Abba Daniel didn't do anything other than stand there and follow the commandments of Jesus humbly. And so when we learn to grow in the commandments, we grow in humility. And we start following the commandments humbly, again, we find that the demons have no power over us. And so if I want to grow in a life of humility, we set 4 points. Number one, I need to ask and beg. Ask and beg and never stop begging till the end of our life. It's the evasive virtue. It's one of those virtues that flees from us. You think you've done something good. You know, one of the fathers says, the moment you think, okay, somebody praised you and you avoided the praise, the demon of vainglory will come and say, good job, and hit you from the other side. It's the evasive virtue. And so we need to struggle till the end of our life. Ask and beg. Number two, live a life of thanksgiving. Number three, stay away from arguments. And number four, follow the commandments of Jesus humbly. May the Lord grant us to follow his commandments, to live a life of humility, that we may defeat the demons that are united against us and thus nullify their power and praise our Lord and glorify him here and eternally. For unto him is due glory now and forever, and to the end of all ages. Amen.